So how do we get from Benfica's highest scoring overseas footballer to a former Blackburn and Norway winger who's still playing at the age of 40?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers podcast with me, Josh, and as you just heard, Dave. Dave, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm good. How are you? How are you doing? Early in the morning for you, this one.
Early days, early morning. Sun's not really up because it's grey and grim.
But I'm up. You're up and you've got shorts on, so...
Yes, still thinking it's summer, but autumn has dawned very quickly. But I pulled long socks always up to my knees. But it's actually a mix between a Thierry Henry and a Jack Grealish. So they're pulled up as high as they go, like Thierry Henry did. Because they're only short socks, they only go up to my calves, like Jack Grealish. So
they just like
both.
A normal pair of socks, really.
Yeah, I think that's what you'd also just describe it.
Yeah. Right. I'm very good. You're good. Early morning for you. I think we go straight into the actions from last week to see what we've closed out. Remind us.
So last week's podcast was going from Martin Palermo to Sven-Göran Eriksson, and we had three actions. First order of the day was Martin Palermo. His managerial statistics did not match his managerial career in terms of all of the places he'd been. Ticked it off. Cleaned that right up. Done.
Lovely stuff. I mean, it's a very efficient action list for today. We had empty versus vacant under Ivory Coast, so I did my due diligence, and I went in and made sure they all had fixtures during that time, and they did, so they should have had a manager, so they've all changed from empty to vacant. So all of them now, when they didn't have a manager, was just vacant. And then I've also finished up the third action as well, just before the podcast started. We tidied up the wording around the Elephants supporters section for the Ivory Coast, when it was like, when they attend football matches... And it wasn't just around Ivory Coast's games. It was like as if they turned up to any game and did the percussion of an elephant.
Hire your own supporters.
Yeah, exactly. So it now does state that when they go to Ivory Coast matches, there is normally a percussion band that make the noise of an elephant walking through the forest. So actions are done, Josh. Efficient.
Wow. Still have the outstanding Mario Jardel action because that has not progressed any further. just to bring it down at the end there.
Excuses. So again, all I'm hearing is excuses. But no, new episode this week, new people, and a first for Wikipedia Wanderers. The first link between two footballers that are still playing to this day. If you haven't figured it out, listeners, we are going from Oscar Cardozo, because it was announced last week that I was going to start with him, definitely. And Josh has picked champ manager, football manager. I'm trying to think where he was the legend he became.
Champ manager, I think it was. 2003, something like that, I think, yeah.
A champ manager legend in Morten Gamst Pedersen, who I think probably most people listening to this podcast will definitely know. Like, absolutely brilliant. I mean, where should we start? Should we start with the end of Morten, or should we start with the beginning of Oscar?
We'll start with Oscar, but I have got a question for you straight off the bat. When you chose yours, and I'll say when I chose mine, did you realise that they were still playing?
No. When I chose Oscar Cardozo after I saw his name in the Javier Saviola page, I didn't think he was still playing. I thought they had long retired. Absolutely long retired. So, I mean, this might shock you as well. Cardozo is 2 years younger than Morten Gamst Pedersen.
That doesn't sit right with me, if I'm honest, Dave.
No. Cardozo's 38.
Yeah, Gamst Pedersen is 40. I think it's due to the way Pedersen's boyish good looks. A bit Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
There's a joke there, and I couldn't get my brain working quick enough.
No, I kept talking. Just kept on talking there. But I think he's got a bit of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer about him. Maybe it's the Norwegian blood in them that they just look a little bit younger.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to Morten Gamst Pedersen in a sec then. We'll dive into a bit of Oscar Cardozo. And the first thing I want to tell you about his page is, decorated. A highly decorated, like the honours, great stuff. Let's go right to the bottom, straight into honours.
There's a nice little contents list, but honours down, and individual. Okay,
so
nice.
So honours, club. He has the Paraguayan Division Intermedia in 2004, Benfica, Premier Liga, 2009-10, 2013-14, the Cup of Portugal 2013-14, the Cup in the League Cup 2008-09, 2009-10, 2010-11, 2011-12, 2013-14, the Super Cup runner-up 2010, the Europa League runner-up 2012-13, 13-14, Olympiakos, Super League of Greece.
Okay, we're getting the point.
Yeah, loads.
I would say that it is a lot of things on there. but they're not the best things.
No.
We've got... Yeah. Now, I'm just casting aspersions on the cups here. The Benfica won a lot of League Cups, which in England are seen as lesser to the FA Cup. We've got two runners-up in the Europa League. We've only... for Benfica, we've only got two league titles in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, are I being harsh, or do you think
I think you're being a bit harsh, because this is when Porto were really, really good. So in his time,
it
is mentioned earlier on in the page, which we'll touch on, I'm sure, and could be a potential link we go to. It does mention how he got the golden boot in Portugal, I think, once, and lost out to Falcao three times at Porto. So it is a very height of their era Porto sort of team, where they were bringing through all the South Americans that were doing really well.
You're right, actually. Looking at his top scorers, his individual ones, he's got a few top scorers in different leagues and cups. You know, Europa League top scorer, Primera Division top scorer, I think that might be Paraguay, sorry. But yeah, he scores goals, but it wasn't enough to push Benfica over the line for a number of years.
No, very true. And on scoring goals, he's been... incredible goal scoring stats is what I think we always bring up. Goal scoring stats have been a bit warped by Ronaldo and Messi.
Well, let's go up the page, go to his broken down section. So this is we're all stats and facts right now, Dave. No wording yet. This is ask about face.
I'm playing to what you love, Josh. You're a stats man.
It's true. It's true.
I thought I'd go straight in, get the stats out. Here we go. And you guide us through this broken down league cup appearances and everything like that. What sticks out here? What jumps out?
Sticks out to me is Benfica. So we have, you know, C.D. Febrero, where he makes his start, which is great. 20 league appearances, 20 league goals in 34 appearances. Lovely. Moves somewhere else in Paraguay, I think, to Nacional Asuncion. 22 goals, 63 appearances. Takes a little downturn. Neil's old boys come in. A little bit of Argentina move there. Okay, great scoring record there. 21 goals, 33 appearances. Then comes the Benfica. We've got 7 years, 112 goals, 175 appearances. That's where he makes his name, isn't it? You look at overall, Benfica, 172 goals and 292 appearances. We're better than one every other game. That's what you want to be seeing.
Yeah.
Trabzonspor, we have a couple of seasons, 25 goals and 50 appearances. Again, 1-2s. Then we get into the kind of the twilight of his career, don't we? We have Olympiacos, which is not great. 3 goals, 22 appearances, which surprises me. I don't know. You think he'd still have it then? We don't know. Stats only tell part of the story. And then we go to Libertad, which he went on playing for a while after. You think there's 5 more seasons after that. Oh, still going, sorry. 58 goals in 136 appearances. So we have in league appearances... 513, 255 goals, just shy of one goal every two games.
Which I think is impressive. Yeah, very, very impressive. And I think it's... What jumped out at me when I was reading through his page was how much Benfica really must have trusted their scouts. Because when you look at it, it's that one season at Newell's Old Boys, and then they bought him in. Because... The first one, the 3D Febrero team in Paraguay, is the second division of Paraguay. So he was clearly above that level, scoring 20, 30.
Yes, division intermedia. That must be kind of the second division. Okay, yeah.
And then he stepped up to the top division with Nacional Asuncion, whatever it is. And again, 22 and 63 isn't brilliant. And then Newell's Old Boys took a punt, 21 and 33. And Benfica were like, yeah, all right, we'll have him.
So what age are we talking? So that's at 06. So he'd been 22, 23 at that time? Okay, yeah. So he's reasonably old to be transferred across, I think. Is it to make a big European move? Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. There was a bit of, I've gone through the page and read it. There was a bit of, it was one of these, Benfica bought 80% of his playing rights and then paid 20% later on to buy him fully outright. And then when they sold him, it was 20% of it was sold again to a conglomerate of people. So when they eventually sold him on to Trabzonspor only paid Benfica 80% of the fee. It was one of those really confusing sort of scenarios where it all happens. But yeah, I mean, that record at Benfica for goal scoring is incredible. He is Benfica's highest scoring non-Portuguese player in history,
Okay. Is that a link out we've got here? Is there a list?
Potentially.
Oh, no. We have a Benfica's ninth all-time goal scorer. This is poorly worded. He is Benfica's ninth all-time goal scorer, second in European competitions, and the highest scoring foreigner of a club with 172 goals. Okay, so there's a clickable link to something there in the all-time goal scoring rankings. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And similar to Morten Gams Pedersen, and quite a lot of people you stumble across their pages seem to say this, really good at free kicks. Known for his free kick prowess, or his free kick skills and his powerful left foot shot. Now, I do remember him having a rocket of a left foot. I do remember that about him. And
now, are we thinking, do you remember his free kicks? Because I remember him being powerful. Do you think this is a driven, powerful free kick? Or you reckon this is a bit of touch of class, whippy number?
I'm all about the power. I think he's leathering it with that left foot. Just, if it's not going in, it's hurting someone in the wall. I think that's his approach.
An underused free kick these days. Not often you get them now.
No, that's true, actually.
Back in the 90s, you had the old shift and hit, didn't you?
Yeah.
Alan Shearer, for example, was very much, you lay it off to him and he's going to hit it. Maybe a little routine to dummy who's it going to be shifted to. But when was the last time you saw a ball shifted and blasted in a, say, Premier League football match?
Oh. Yeah, I don't. Nothing's jumping to mind. Oh, Laurent Robert used to be good at that as well. He used to have a free kick with a bullet and the
shot. Was it Alex, the Chelsea Brazilian centre-back? He had a straight run-up hit. Often a centre-back option, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. It very much was just either a powerful centre-forward or a powerful centre-back just coming up and leathering it.
Do you know who currently in the Premier League, I feel, has got that in his locker? I think he's displayed it once against Liverpool, but in strange circumstances. Lewis Dunk.
Okay.
I think he's got. I think he might even have a knuckleball in his locker, which is quite surprising.
I think I've seen Lewis Dunk take a couple of free kicks. Thinking about it, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. If you had to pick one centre-back that's currently on Spurs' books to hit a free kick with power, who would it be?
I mean, because he's already scored a free kick for England, which was very, very strange, it's got to be Eric Dier.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd love to see Rafa Varane hit one.
You reckon? I think he's got flimsy legs.
I think that would stay hit, Rafa Varane. Actually, Harry Maguire after that penalty. I definitely want to see Harry Maguire smash a free kick. Yeah, definitely.
That would probably end up like Bruno's penalties. All right, let's move back to Oscar Cardozo.
Yes, back to Oscar Cardozo. So he has played more than 50 times for Paraguay as well, so he's got a decent appearances, 55.
Ooh.
Goals are a bit poor, 12.
55? Who's keeping him out of the side?
Well, there's a lot of non-qualification for tournaments and injuries that have kept him out. So he's picked up a few injuries. So he's 50 caps and he's represented them. It's quite a spanning career. 2007 Copa America, 2010 World Cup, 2019 Copa America. And you've got to think that's 12 years and he's only played in three international tournaments for them. So there was a lot of injuries that kept him out, niggling injuries. And he played through some serious back pain when he joined Trabzonspor. Because he wanted to impress, and that ruled him out of a Copa America.
That's probably from all the years he carried Benfica.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's he's done. He's had a good career, and it was fascinating reading about him. And I'd definitely recommend to go through. There are some good links you can have out. There's Trabzonspor in Turkey, Newell's Old Boys in Argentina. We could go to the Paraguay national team, and as long as it doesn't take us to the country, there's not many name drops of players. Javier Saviola is name dropped, but he's out. We've used
reciprocated
him.
We've got
Marcus
Diego
Rojo.
Gavilan.
Oh, Gavilan. Rojo. Yeah. We've got Marcus Rojo and Gavilan. Yeah, they're in here.
Diego Gavilan, was he Newcastle maybe? You had a little spate of some Paraguay. Okay. Acuna as well, who's I think
Diego Gavilan went Paraguay, a team in Paraguay, Newcastle Sporting, I think.
Or am I'm thinking of Hugo Viana.
But yeah, so there is a few links out of here. Gil Vicente, remember him? Like, he gets a mention, the player, Gil Vicente. Yeah. Sevilla, Europa League final, Maxi Pereira. There's a couple. Luis Al.
But until we, set the settings to direct to Morten Gams Pedersen on Google Maps, we're not quite sure which road to take.
I like that. So let's hear about Morten Gams Pedersen then.
Morten Gams Pedersen, as you know, I think as most people know, he used to play for Blackburn. Now, what I didn't realise, do you remember who he was signed by for Blackburn?
Allardyce.
No. Graham Souness.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, second question. Do you remember Graham Souness managing Blackburn?
No.
No. Which, I mean, Graham Souness obviously has Turkish links. Like, we both players have got played for Turkish club, but Graham Souness is obviously famed for that flag in the centre circle was the manager of Galatasaray. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Morten Gaps Pedersen. So, yeah, started his career at Tromso, I think famed for its Northern Lights, is how I remember it. And, yeah, Blackburn signed him, Graham Souness signed him as a replacement for Damien Duff, who's seen as. Who just moved to, I think the Abramovich era just started at Chelsea. Damien Duff was signed. I think Arjen Robben and players like that were signed. So he was signed. Didn't have the greatest time under Souness. Nothing to do with Souness's managerial skills, obviously. But it was when Mark Hughes came to the fore and took over is when he started playing well for Blackburn, it seemed. And it mentions a highlight, which I want to know if you remember. So it says, the highlight of his Blackburn career came in September 2005 when he scored both goals in a 2-1 victory against Manchester United at Old Trafford. Is that in the memory bank for you? Dave's a Manchester United supporter. I'm wondering if he remembers this.
No. I do have recollection of him scoring quite a nice curling effort against us, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't at Old Trafford. But no, okay. I don't. For that
so
to be
wasn't
his
highlight.
No.
Okay, right. But you mentioned Big Sam. He also played under Paul Ince. So he's played under Graham Souness, Mark Hughes, Paul Ince, Big Sam. That's, I'm not sure he's got the greatest view of English football, but oh well. It goes through his section. He has a few controversial incidents, which, well, I'll speak about. So Pedersen was poked in the cheek and then the eye from Everton midfielder, and now I've added this bit, and now Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta, who acted angrily after Pedersen attacked him in a challenge. Both booked for stopping play. Stopping play. Nothing to do with the eye poke and cheek poke. Yeah. Stop play there, mate. For goodness sakes, carry on.
Bloody hell.
I don't remember that. No. Arteta, do you remember him having that in his locker? That niggly behaviour? He always seemed a bit cleaner. Yeah.
It was clean cut, yeah. He was clean cut, a nice guy.
Yeah. Another instance where I think we'll realise that the offender is quite a regular behaviour for him. He netted against Newcastle at St James' Park, scoring in the third minute with his right foot following an assist from teammate Brett Emerton. And he also took a punch in the stomach from Joe Barton.
How is that just in there at the end of that sentence?
No, don't know. But yeah, as I said, it's not, being punched by Joe Barton doesn't make you special. But he had a big old career at Blackburn, 288 league appearances. Not in a great time for them, though. I mean, they've obviously won the league previously. He wasn't even there for one of their League Cup wins. So, you know, he moves on. He moves on to Karabükspor in Turkey, which is a side, not one of your bigger sides, not your big Turkish sides.
No. But Oscar Cardozo did play in Turkey for Trabzonspor, so potential.
A little bit of overlap, maybe. So at that point, his wording ends. But we can see from his section on the right that followed that, we have Rosenborg, a little return to Tromso, and now playing at Alta. And now, I'm guessing the fact that was in Tromso, so in Norway, he's still playing age of 40, I think it's got to still be Norway.
Surely that's in Norway. Surely it's not in the top division of Norway, and surely he's some sort of player coach.
That is an action taken on my behalf where I'll clarify his time at Rosenborg, Tromso, and also add in what the current situation is with Alta. Full name, Alta Vista.
I think you can take that as an action. I would say you don't need to do too much work. You could probably pull it out from his club career statistics because they are in there as well. Like, you don't need to know what if he's had a career highlight of scoring against someone in Norway.
No, I think it would more be like after Karabükspor, he signed for Rosenborg, moved on to Tromso, and is now playing in la-la-la-la-la without her.
Yeah. I mean, could you do... Now, I've not done this on Wikipedia in part of the actions we've ever had to take of setting up a new subheading where you could subhead it return to Norway, Norwegian football.
Ooh.
And then you can just list Rosenborg, Tromso, Alta.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
That
makes for a nice page. Yeah, because his page is good. It's worded very well, actually, in his international career, where it says he played his last match so far for Norway. It's like, well, he's age 40 and hasn't played for them since 2012. So, yeah, so far.
You never know. You always cling to hope. It's actually very similar to Oscar Cardozo. It does say current Paraguayan professional footballer who plays for Club Litadori and the Paraguayan national team. Does he?
Okay. So in his international career, there's actually a few nice bits. So he scored against Hungary once, and a goal which was akin to Van Basten's volley in the 88 final. So he was dubbed Van Gampsten for a little while.
Oh, love that. Yeah.
But that match actually has something else, which is a clickable link. So after that match, he was given the Golden Watch, an award given to players on their 25th cap for Norway. Now, that is a clickable link.
Ooh.
It interests me. If we could, obviously, we need to get to Golden Watch somewhere else, and then Gamps Pedals would be there. But
that's niche.
So you got to get there. We'd have to work out who else we think has had more than 25 caps for Norway and have it referenced on their page. So who do you reckon's top caps for Norway?
Solskjaer, John Carew,
Henning Berg,
Bjørnaby,
or even Leonardsen.
Oh, Leonardsen, yeah.
Yeah. So if any of those come up in our route, that's going to be in my head.
Okay.
But obviously, there could also be just the Norway clip.
Yeah, there could just be a Norway clip,
but
yeah.
If I get to Golden Watch, that'll make me quite happy.
Was Vegard Heggem Norwegian?
He was.
Liverpool loved the Norwegian, didn't they? Bjørnaby,
Heggem. He's a little Norwegian type, yeah.
Leonardsen, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Golden Watch. I wonder if it is just a Golden Watch or if there's something a bit more spectacular about it.
Is it literal? We don't know.
Yeah.
Personal life. So we have some stats or some facts here, which I've pulled out. His father trained Morten to use his left foot rather than his natural right foot in a bid to help him become a professional footballer, as there is less competition for left-sided roles in the sport. I mean, he went so far, but he became left-footed.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a clever tactic. It's also a little bit, I can't think of the word, but a little bit detrimental. That's probably not the word I want to use, but because his father's basically saying, you're good, but you're not good enough if you're right-footed to become a professional footballer. So let's train up the left.
My takeaway is, I don't really remember Morten Gamst person using his right foot much.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I don't remember thinking he was being two-footed. I remember thinking he's got a brilliant left foot.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They needed to balance out that foot training.
Yeah.
Now, the more interesting piece was Pedersen fronted Norwegian boy band The Players alongside some fellow footballers, who released a song in aid of the Soccer Against Crime campaign. Their first single became a hit across Scandinavia, not just Norway. So no action there, but I feel like there's never a reference to YouTube links in Wikipedia pages. Is there a reason behind that, Drew?
Maybe a copyright thing? I don't... I'm not sure.
Because that feels like that'd be a lovely clickable link through there, wouldn't it?
Well, is it because it's the same reason for the photos? Like, you can't use a copyrighted photo and therefore someone owns the YouTube content, so you might not be allowed to post it without their permission.
Nice work. Yeah. Okay.
Potentially. But I'm very keen to find out what the player's song was like. That is very interesting. But again, there are four links there. If we randomly end up clicking on Christopher Haysted, he will probably have a link on his page to say he was part of a boy band, The Players, with Morten Gamst Pedersen. So
yes, maybe. It's a maybe though, isn't it?
It's a maybe.
Or if we wanted to go down Scandinavian number ones and
that would be, again, we've gone on a wild, wild diversion if we get to
that's
that.
That's it. They're the kind of links Dave picks. Okay, so let's move on to stats. He's got a good old... He's played a lot of games, 613 appearances across all competitions, 117 goals. I don't know why, I just expected a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because almost half of those came in kind of 3 years in Tromso.
Yeah, I'd like to see another column with assists to see if that's boosting him up to be
the goals and assists per game. Yeah,
better statistical footballer. Yeah, that's an interesting one, that. Yeah. I was expecting more goals. So.
Yeah, but I looked and thought, when you mentioned Cardoza's 55 appearances for Paraguay, because Gamst Pedersen's got 83 for Norway. Obviously, no major tournaments that Norway have ever qualified for. It's just, I thought Cardoza would have more. 83. Now, it lists out the goals here. I always look in this goal section to see if anyone scored against England. No one. They always score against the other nations, Scotland and Northern Ireland and things like that. So he's got a goal against Northern Ireland, Scotland and Republic of Ireland. Yeah.
Just missing Wales and England. There's still time. Yeah. He's not retired yet.
No.
So far, he's only scored against Northern Ireland, Ireland, and Scotland. So
you pulled out Cardoza as being honours heavy. I'd say Gamst Pedersen is honours light. I mean, the first honours come at Rosenborg, which is it would be in his return to Norway section.
Yeah, that's
in 2015, he won, I presume that is the league, the top league, Tippeligaen?
I'll go with that. Top league.
Yeah. And also won the Norwegian Football Cup, not to be confused with any other sport. And back in 2002, so this is his time at Tromsø, he was the top scorer in the league, which is
a good feat. Top scorer in the second division. Because the Tippeligaen is the top division. First division is the second division.
Yes, they got relegated. You can see there, got relegated in 0-1. Him only scoring 5 goals. Scores 21 goals over all competitions next year.
Yeah.
But he matures. He matures there. 12 goals and 10 goals after that. So, yeah, his stats are propped up a little bit by lower league football.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Do you have a memory of Morten Gams Pedersen other than just being quality with his left foot?
It's just that Blackburn Rovers side.
Yeah.
Gams Pedersen one side, David Bentley the other, two guy in the middle.
Yeah.
And then normally insert forward from abroad up here, you know, Rocky Santa Cruz, Benny McCarthy. Did Ben Jarni play there? I'm not sure. But yeah, it was a well organised side, and it normally had, you know, a good centre backs, you know, Ryan Nelson, Christopher Samba, Brett Emerton was there. It was a well constructed first 11, which could cause some problems.
Was Brad Friedel in goal?
I think Brad Friedel was much earlier on.
Was it?
Paul Robinson for a while was in goal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Probably would have been. Yeah.
So, I remember those Big Sam era where Paul Robinson's taking a free kick to lump into the box from anywhere outside of his own box.
Yeah.
Chris Samba's knocking it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Got ya. So all right then. So let's go. We know. Do we know a good way in to Morten Gams Pedersen? Norway is probably, I think you're right.
Safest route is Norway.
Yeah.
Most appealing route is Golden Watch.
Yeah, okay. Oh, clickable link on Morten Gams Pedersen page. BBC Match of the Day's Goal of the Month competition.
Yes, he did win Goal of the Month.
So technically, correct, we could get into Match of the Day and Goal of the Month. Because I assume they'll have a big long list of everyone that's won it.
Daisy assumption.
So
it is an assumption, but yeah, I'd say that is an interesting route to take. So if we got anywhere we get to Match of the Day Goal of the Month, already seemed like a stretch, if I'm honest, Dave.
Yeah.
We've got Norway and we've got Golden Watch. So go back to Oscar Cardozo then. But we've got two questions. I'll ask the first one first and the second one second, just to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Firstly, Norwegians at Benfica, or Norwegians overlapping with Cardozo. Anything anyone springs to mind? Is it the climate too warm for them?
No one springs to mind, but I'm struggling to think of Norwegians around that time, like that would have played outside the Premier League that I wouldn't have known in the Premier League. It's a tough one. So I'm going to have to say to question one, no, I don't know of any Norwegians.
Okay. Question two then. Anything that's been in Cardozo's page, any links out, you think that's a bit of me? I love that.
I quite like Paraguayan Footballer of the Year as a link out to just go and see who's been on that.
Yeah, don't mind that at all.
They
definitely won't be Norwegian.
They definitely won't be Norwegian. Well, you don't know. South American Footballer of the Year. King of Football of America. Was a Spanish guy once. I quite like the idea of potentially using one of his honours to go out that he's had.
Oh, I do like that. So
something like the winning the Greek League with Olympiakos in 2016-17. See who we stumble across.
Do we have any cup final? I love a cup final to click on because it gets you to who's played in the final.
Europa League runner-up 2012-13 or 13-14. Potentially. There's no finals listed, but there is the competitions, obviously, that we had. So, yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah.
There's a few things out there that we can take. I'm open to suggestions, Josh. I've got a track record of sending us to absolute nonsense. So, let me know. What's jumping out at you?
Yeah, I do like Europa League. Anything Europa League gives me some fun.
I've found a page I think you're going to like because you love the Europa League. I'm going to read you this sentence, or this little sentence. On the 14th of May 2014, Cardozo missed a penalty in the penalty shootout against Sevilla in the Europa League final loss, which ended in penalties. Now,
yeah,
that Europa League final is a clickable link. Does it mean the Europa League final is a competition as a whole? Does it have its own page, or does it mean that Europa League final in 2014?
I would say the fact that it's got the final highlighted, I think it's going to be the 14 final.
Okay.
I like that.
Should we go for it? So, just,
I'm happy to go to it, yeah.
Right, bang,
we
done.
We haven't used it. Oh, my God, he's there.
We're out, done.
2014 Europa League final. It is the final page. It is specifically the 2014 between Sevilla Benfica, won by Sevilla on penalties. It's a good page, Dave. It's got lots of bits going on, isn't it?
It's decent. A lot of things listed, a lot of clubs listing out, a lot of information. I think, you know, we love a final page, don't we? Because it shows you the starting lineups in the little team shape and stuff like that. Really good. Do you remember this final?
Negative.
No.
I don't recall it. No. Sevilla have got to a lot of finals, and as have Benfica, seemingly. Benfica got there the year before and lost to Chelsea. Was that Rafa Benitez?
Yes, I think it would have been Benitez, yeah. Well, as it says, Josh, in the page, in the opening paragraph, Benfica are the team with the most lost finals in the competition.
That's not what you want.
No, it's not.
You're getting there, but you're not winning them. I do like the section pre-match with some just strange tidbits like logo. UEFA unveiled the visual identity of a final on the 30th of August 2013, the same day as the group stage draw. Oh, the visual identity of the final. That's a nice way of putting it.
Yes. German referee Felix Breitsch was named by UEFA as the referee in the final. He gets around a bit, doesn't he? That's referee, a name I recognise from Europe.
Yeah. The I did think it mentioned a former Australian goalkeeper. The rest of the refereeing team, our fellow countryman, Mark Borsch. I did read that as Bosnich and got very confused why he's under the official section.
Wow, that would be strange. That would be very, very strange. Held in Juventus' stadium, Turin. Also listed as Torino on the actual poster, the advertising poster, which is a bit strange again. I don't remember it at all. I'm really not too sure about what happened in the game. But should we have a look at the team selections?
Yeah, team selection. You take us through Sevilla and I'll go through Benfica.
All right, so Sevilla, dressed in all white with black socks. Nice basic kit, quite like it. Beto in goal. They had Koke at right back. Nicolas Pereira, centre back, partnering Federico Fazio, a name that you'll
former Spurs legend, yeah, yes,
familiar with. Alberto Moreno at left back, once of Liverpool. So
yeah, I want you to reference if they played in the Premier League, please, Dave. So if you name a player and if they played for a Premier League side.
Okay, next up, holding two holding midfielders, Stefan Mbia. I think he's played in England, and I don't know who for.
QPR,
okay.
Is my guess, I think.
Partnering him in holding midfield, Daniel Carico.
Carico, yes. He's got an English heritage.
Wolves.
No, I think it was Reading. Reading got promoted, and he was there in midfield, yeah.
Wow, okay. Centre midfield, in front of them, Ivan Rakitic. Right wing, Jose Antonio Reyes of Arsenal. Left wing, Vitolo. Don't think he's had an English thing. And centre forward, Carlos Bacca, who hasn't played in England but has played for AC Milan. Did a good job for AC Milan.
Yeah, I think West Ham were linked with him for a long while, I think.
Okay. And then on the bench, Javi Varas, Fernando Navarro, Diogo Figueroa, Marco Marin of Chelsea.
Chelsea ruined him. One of the lone army. Yeah. I remember him playing against Spurs in our first Champions League campaign for Wolfsburg, Werder Bremen. And he was outstanding. He was very tricky, but then he really fell off. Yeah.
Always had outstanding potential on Football Manager, Marco Marin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good. Vincent Iborda, who I'm pretty sure is Sevilla through and through. I don't recognise that name from anywhere else other than Sevilla. Pito Trukowski.
I've been working on your pronunciation. I'll try.
And Kevin Gemeliero was the sub striker on the bench. Unai Emery was the manager of Arsenal, ex-Arsenal, now Villarreal, I think. Unai Emery.
Yeah, Villarreal. Yeah. Okay. Benfica, we've got Jan Oblak. Obviously, we all know him now at Atletico Madrid. Maxi Pereira, right back. Not sure, he could easily have had an English career. I'm not aware of. Luis Sao, very much a Benfica player, that one, the centre back, composing centre back, a great player alongside him, Ezequiel Garay. Left back, Guillaume Siqueira. Don't really recall him. Ruben Amorim, Andre Gomes. Is that the Andre Gomes?
Everton
fame.
Everton, yeah.
Nicolas Gaetan, the failed moves to England year after year with Manchester United. Miralem Soleimani. I don't think he ever came to England. Then Lima and Rodrigo, which I think will be Leeds' Rodrigo.
I think it is Leeds' Rodrigo, yeah.
Yeah, and then the bench we have, Arta, Sven Vittoria, Jardel, not Mario Jardel, a previous week. Filip Jurčić could easily play in Premier League with someone, but I don't recall. Andre Almeida, Oscar Cardozo, who had to come on in extra time.
Yeah.
Only to miss his penalty.
Yeah.
We've been there before, Dave.
We have.
And Ivan Cavaliero, which is that the one of
Wolves?
Fulham? Might be both. Leeds, Fulham.
I think he plays
Wolves.
For Fulham.
They played for one of those.
I think he plays for Fulham now, and they had him on loan from Wolves and then bought him from Wolves, Ivan Cavaliero, I think.
And it was Jorge Jesus as manager. Right, now we've read all the players. We've read the sections. I mean, we've got some road to the final was quite unique. So Benfica dropped down from the Champions League. Sevilla weren't really meant to be in it. They only qualified because, was it Malaga got thrown out?
Yeah.
And he mentions another side.
Rayo Vallecano were denied a UEFA licence, which surprises me that clubs can even get denied that licence now.
Yeah. Don't know. So they had strange routes. So Sevilla played 19 games all through qualifying. But there's no Norwegian side. So Sevilla played were Freiburg, Estoril, Valencia, Porto, Betis. Benfica played Olympiacos, PSG. This is in Champions League. And dropped down. They played Spurs.
They beat Spurs 5-3 on aggregate. Any recollection of that? They won 3-1 at White Hart Lane.
I have banished that out of my head. No, I don't recall that at all.
That run from Benfica, they got knocked out of the Champions League to then come up against Juventus in the semi-finals and beat them. That's impressive. That's very impressive. Yeah. And Juventus obviously fighting for a home final as well.
Knowing
it would have been a home final. Big shout out to Maribor, who feature of getting into the round of 32 and losing to Sevilla. Just 4-3. Big fan of Maribor, as you know. Listeners might not know, but you know. I love a bit of Maribor. International ticket sales phase for the general public ran from the 27th of February to the 25th of March. Tickets were available in four price categories. €150, €100, €70 and €45. This is two teams that have been in a number of finals. How much would you have paid for the most expensive ticket? Is that the right word? Or do I want to say the cheapest ticket? How much would you have paid for a ticket?
I think I'd have paid the kind of €100.
Yeah.
If it was in England, I'm not going to fly to Turin to watch this.
Well, both of these clubs have had to fly to Turin, so.
Yeah, but I'm not as a fan. I'm not going there. If it was in England, I could have paid that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
All good information, Dave, but where are we going?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We can use this as a...
lesson learned.
Definitely use it as a lesson learned. But we can use it as a step to just go and see something we're interested in.
Oh, like, put a nice spin on it.
Something we're just interested in. I mean, Liverpool are there as a clickable link if we want to get rid of them and find a notable Norwegian that's played for them. I don't really know. Would you like to know more about Nicolas Gaetan and potentially his failed moves and see if there's anything worth reading in there? He might have scored against Norway. An international footballer that scored against Norway could be a way in if they always link the goals.
True. It's going to be a tough one. Norway having not qualified for a major tournament, I'd say we should probably stick to European players.
Yeah, true.
Okay, I feel like maybe we should go to a player we don't really know much about, actually.
Okay, any suggestions?
Why not one of the subs who we don't really know much about? It could be great, it could be maybe...
I mean, I nailed his name. What about we go to Piotr Trochowski? Nail it now, can I? Piotr Trochowski.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I'm happy to go there.
We're sticking to a good area of Europe to be linked to Scandinavia. He's German.
He's still playing. Do we know anything about him?
No.
Because, I mean, you look at this list. Carlos Bacca's still playing. Moreno's still playing. Rakitic is still playing. Koke's still playing.
Is still playing a gift, or is it?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. But there's a lot. What I'm trying to say is, there's a lot. This is a good era of a lot of crossover between people that are still playing and people that aren't that are now retired. So you've got give me a 50-50 answer. No, don't give me. Give me an answer. You've got 50. You've got a 50-50 chance.
Maybe. Is that it?
Give me an answer. Do you think Piotr Tchaikovsky is still playing or not?
No, I don't think he's still playing. I think he looked after himself, but I think he was a little bit older. Okay. And he's kind of retired. He's kind of 30s. No, he's still of a good age, but he's a centre mid. He's not playing.
Okay, let's go and have a look then. Piotr Artur Tchaikovsky, which is nice. It's a Polish name, that. I've got a friend here in Singapore who's just had a boy, and they've named it Artur, like that. It's a name that you can pronounce in both English and Polish. That's why they picked it.
He was born in Poland, that is why.
There you go. I also love this page, Josh, because the first sentence, it sums up the fact that this page hasn't been written by someone that's ever seen him play football, because they went, according to his FIFA World Cup 2010 profile, he is a playmaker known for his speed, agility, tricky dribbling and refined technique. So they've just copy and pasted from his profile that Germany submitted to the World Cup 2010.
So they could reference it. It might be accurate. They just wanted a nice little reference.
Okay, true. But I don't really remember much about Piotr Tchaikovsky. And... Do you recognise the name?
No, he's very vague recollection of the name. Vague. A lot of time in Germany, Bayern Munich, second team, Bayern Munich, Hamburg, little stint in Sevilla, then Augsburg, and then up until this year was still playing. But for Hamburg's third side?
That must be their third team, yeah. That must be their third team.
Just loved the game, didn't he? Loved the game. We have a lot of players who love the game, playing quite old.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, very random. There's a couple of things that sort of jumped out at me when I had a quick flick through. In September 2014, obviously we've come here from Sevilla being involved in the game. And in September 2014, Sevilla stated that the club and Tchaikovsky terminated the contract by mutual consent. He disagreed. He threatened a lawsuit against the club, and he later went through with it. So he sued Sevilla. Probably quite ironically then that is the height of his career, and it went downhill after that. Do you reckon he got a bit of a reputation?
I don't think many people after that go, oh, I want you here. They don't want to be risk being sued, do they?
Exactly. But, I mean, he's got quite I want to say it's strange, but I'm not too sure if it is strange. It's strange for us because we don't know too much about him. His track record for Germany. So he was selected as the squads in 2008, the 2010 World Cup. He's made his debut in 2006, 35 caps for Germany. I don't really remember any of it.
No, there's often... German sides often like peppered with players who play in the Bundesliga with the other superstars, isn't it? There's always a few random names. Normally a fullback, actually. But, no, he's got a couple of goals. He's scored against Wales, obviously. You know, home nations love a goal against them. In a 2010 World Cup qualifier, which might be a route out because Norway haven't qualified for major tournament, but they would be obviously within the qualifiers, so that may be a route. We also have, in his honours, we have some Intertoto Cup.
Love the Intertoto Cup.
Yeah, that would surely, you know, some Norwegian sides would be within that. Personal life, he's part of a footballing family with three brothers, all semi-professional players. His cousin is an international rugby union player, so sport is in the family. I also love the name of his agent, Roman Grill. I don't know if it's just a good name.
Yeah. Roman Grill, good name. He's featured in the German under 20 team in the 2003 FIFA World Youth Championship. So again, we don't know if Norway were there or not, so it's probably a little bit risky going that way.
Hasn't been mentioned in Gams Pedersen's page, is it?
No.
He was probably playing in second division Norway at the time. Might have been there in the forefront of the manager's mind, or even qualified.
Yeah, he was replaced. There's a name for you, Josh. Torsten Frings. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, I remember Torsten Frings, yeah.
Replaced by Torsten Frings for the final 14 minutes when he came, for his debut. I mean, yeah, I don't really know. There's not a lot to take in from this page. It's a very sentence-based page. There's not many paragraphs to read through. So, I mean, what's jumping out at you? Do you think it's Intertoto Cup or 2010 World Cup qualifiers? That's where we go.
I'd say 2010 World Cup qualifiers is safer, but my fear is that's going to be to the group that Germany were playing in, and we need to or may need a subsequent quick click if it doesn't have Norway in that group.
Yeah, okay. I think Intertoto is a massive risk, even though we could click on the year to not take the whole thing out, and then you're relying on Rosenborg or Tromso or something potentially getting in there. I'm not sure. I'm happy to go 2010 World Cup qualifier and see where we end.
So what are we going for? We're going for, there's a section here in his international career wordings, the sole goal in a 2010 World Cup qualifier against Wales. So that's linked. And then we also have it mentioned again in the table, which you'd assume is the same link. Is there any preference? Do you think there's going to be any difference between the two?
I think they should be the same. I would say let's just click on the one that's in his international goals.
International goals. Okay, right, let's do it. 2010, FIFA World Cup qualification, UEFA Group 4. It's niche. It's narrowed it down. We have, I mean, I'm sure you'll remember, but I'll read the list of teams out. We have Germany, Russia, Finland, Wales, Azerbaijan, and Liechtenstein. That was in the final standings order. Germany qualified. We do have a list of all matches and all goal scorers. Then it narrows down the goal scorers for us. You know, Miroslav Klose was top goal scorer. Then Luka Podolski. We have Jonathan Johansson, Roman Pavlyuchenko. A few names that are also standing out. We have some with some Blackburn past. We have Shefki Kucci. He's got Blackburn past. A player we can't click on.
Oh, yeah, a player we can't click on. David Edwards. My famous click from Ballatown.
Yeah, a couple of goals there for him there.
Yeah, Craig Bellamy's also there, but a potential Blackburn link, but probably a little bit too late. We're so close, Josh, because Finland is pretty close to Norway. So
it is.
Yeah, I mean, Shefti Kucci, a little stint at Blackburn.
A little stint at Blackburn. I'd imagine journeyman.
Yeah.
So my thinking here is, do we have... Is Finland, is Norway the better league? Finnish players move over to the Norway league, maybe? And he's had some Tromso or some outer? I don't know. My list of outer players. But
it's really tough because I think my thinking's slightly different in the fact that we click on a striker who I think potentially may have scored against Norway in a different qualifying competition, and then it's just potluck. I think either way we do this, it's potluck. It's like
I think we've got to be Finnish though, because Finnish, I imagine, would so you're going to play more against Norway. You've got more chance of being Norway leagues and in Scandinavia. So I'd say a Finnish player,
right?
So we've got, in terms of goals, we've got Jonathan Johansson, obviously had a time at Charlton, Mikael Forsell, time at Chelsea,
Birmingham.
Shefki Kucci, Jari Litmanen, Liverpool. We have a few players I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan Johansson was far and away top goal scorer in this competition for Norway with 5. Mikael Forsell had 2. Everyone else you listed had 1. On that basis alone, I'd potentially go Jonathan Johansson because he's the biggest goal scorer on this page that we have right now. But you're leaning towards Shefti Kucci, aren't you? Because
he said something about him.
Do you want to talk about his celebration? That's why.
It was a good celebration.
It was a terrible
celebration. And he's been around. Oh, whoa. I'm putting my foot down. I think you've had the pick of the bunch so far. Let's move on to Shefki Kucci.
All right. You're lucky I can't do click adjacent because I want to go and see Jonathan Johansson. Shefki Kucci. What, first off, didn't know his name was Shefki, K-I. I thought it was Shefty.
He's a bit shifty.
Shefti Kucci. Yeah, Shefti Kucci. Right. You were correct. Journeyman. Massively. He had a stint at Newcastle. Do you remember that?
No.
6 appearances at Newcastle. Didn't remember that. Right. Flick through lots of team names that I don't think either of us will know where they play. MP, HJK, FC Jokerit. Or some highlights in there.
Or Jokerit.
Yeah, Jokerit. Stockport, Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, Blackburn. Crystal Palace was 3 seasons at Crystal Palace. Don't remember that.
That's his biggest stint.
Yeah. Like Newcastle, Derby, Oldham, Hibs. And that's where he finished. Was up in Scotland. There's a lot to take in on this page. But, I mean, we all remember it. His trademark goal celebration of belly flopping onto the ground has led to his nickname of the Flying Finn, which is amazing. I don't think any of those teams are in Norway. I'm scrolling down to the club career stats, and I think they're all in Finland, the one we can't recognise, because none of the names... There's a second Bundesliga team in there. international, 8 goals in 62. You jammy git. You're such... He scored in a friendly against Norway.
His second goal for Norway, for Finland, was against
Unbelievable.
Norway.
In a 3-1 win for Finland in Norway.
Because the Finnish will play against Norway more. Yes, this is logic playing out, Dave.
Logic, my arse. You have fluked your way into that one. Shifty Coochie. He's been a bit shifty there, and he scored. What are the chances of that? What are the chances? 8 goals he scored for Norway, and one of them was for Finland, and one of them was against Norway.
So there's a few things I've just been scanning through. So we've got a lovely bit in Stockport, and he's talking about Carlton Palmer, player manager Carlton Palmer. Palmer was responsible for pressuring Graham Souness for Coochie not joining the club. Coochie still maintains his accusations towards Palmer, claiming his management is clueless and feels the club made a mistake having Palmer as manager. Lovely. Souness getting a second mention of the game, of the show. He played alongside Darren Bent at Ipswich. It is in honours down the section here. He has Ipswich Town Player of the Year 2004-05. I feel like Coochie, people knew he could do a job, and therefore, because he was a big lad. When you look at his photo, that's not a man who you think blessed with twinkle-toed feet and will dribble around. He's 6'2". Oh, born in Yugoslavia, born in Kosovo, so must have been part of all of that. And then he went to Finland. He's just been around everywhere. His life's been around. He's now a manager.
You know when you look at a footballer and you're like, you have no future in football outside of what you've done in the game by playing it. That's what I thought of Coochie.
I can see. So the teams he's managed aren't big. FC Honka, PK 35 Vanata, and FC Inter Turku. It's like random name generator for football clubs.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see him on a Thursday night, probably Europa Conference League, on the side, maybe with a suit on, which doesn't fit very well, managing against someone in the Conference League, probably Spurs, and going, oh my God, it's Shefty Coochie. And he probably, you know, gets a bit violent on the sidelines and, you know, gets a bit aggressive. But would you remember anything about him outside of this page? Do you remember anything?
No, celebration. That's all I remember him from. This page is just, if anything, it's confused me more about him. The clubs. He's had 3 stints at Ipswich Town. What's that about? He went on loan, signed for them permanently, and then went back on loan 5 years later to Ipswich.
Now, does it make you more fond of him because he's a supporter of Manchester United, mostly because of Alec Ferguson?
I read that. No, it doesn't make me more fond of him. I'm abject to him. I'm not disfond. I'm not fond. I'm like, I just...
Not now fond of him because he's given us a route to Norway? That must be a reason why you'd be fond of him.
Well, I'll hold your horses here. We're assuming Morten Gams Pedersen is listed on the Norway page. I mean,
he's been awarded the Golden Watch.
Yeah, which means you're now hoping that there's a bit on Golden Watch that announces
nice.
That it's all there. And this is the first time we're clicking on a country, a second time because we had Ivory Coast, but we are hoping that this is not the country and it is the football team Norway.
Oh, Dave, why are you having to bring me down like that?
Why? Just quickly, because you've really lucked out here. You've been a right knob.
We're in it together. This is a team game.
It's not a competition. It's not a competition.
No.
But
if we had to look, Dave's taken us down the garden path and I've brought it back. So you're welcome.
Unbelievable.
You've been ignoring the sat-nav for going to Gamps Palace. You'd be like, which way can we go? Which has no hope.
Yeah, I know.
Just quickly, under his Crystal Palace time, Kuku was placed on a transfer list and fined 2 weeks' wages by Neil Warnock, obviously, after signalling an offensive gesture to Palace fans when they cheered as he was substituted following a particularly poor performance against Wolves. Other reasons behind him being transfer listed were due to his weight gain and lack of fitness, and Warnock told Kuku there was no way back for him.
Neil Warnock gets a few mentions on this podcast.
He does.
Colin Wanker.
Quite. Colin Wanker.
Should we
go for it?
No, just before we move on, one thing, and I think you're going to love this. He has a subsection about goal celebration, and this sentence is incredible. He received media attention, especially from Match of the Day, for his spectacular, unusual diving goal celebration. Kuki jumps forward with both arms out in what could be described as an attempt to glide like a bird before crashing to the ground. The movement bears some resemblance to a belly flop, and he's been referred to as the flying fin. As an attempt to glide like a bird? What?
Well, he has the arms out like he's going to soar, but But the most impressive bit for me was the fact he does come crashing back to the ground. He doesn't stop. He doesn't put his hands down. He just slams himself into the ground.
Yeah, but it's the wording in what could be described as an attempt to glide like a bird. No, he's not attempting to do it.
Emphasis on could. It could be. It's not.
Yeah, it could be. I might take that as an action, see if I can bold the word could be. Bold and italic the word could. So
yeah, so people actually say it with the intonation it deserves. Yeah. Right, we have Norway within the opponent of his list of international goals scored by Chef Kikuchi. Are we clicking it?
Of course we are. Of course we are.
Norway national football team, aka the Lions. Always very strong nicknames, aren't they? Which I suppose goes hand in hand. Yeah, so we have the men's international football team controlled by the Norwegian Football Federation. That sounds a bit overbearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. February, they were ranked number 48. And I did them a disservice. They have participated in major tournaments 3 times in the World Cup. I mean, 1938, 1994, 1998, and once in the European Championships in Euro 2000. Let's have a quick look. I mean, their a section on major tournaments. FIFA World Cup 1930, not invited.
That's so hard. I assume it's because football must have been so new, sort of.
Yeah, quite localised. Maybe they thought, no, we're not invited. We'll just keep it local. No one wants to come to this. It's not. They didn't have the grand statue, didn't have. No one wants to come to this. Don't invite them. They won't even want to come.
Yeah, don't invite anyone so that we win the inaugural one.
Yeah, we won. Uruguay won loads of World Cups. Yeah. Oh, a bronze medal in the Olympic Games in 1936.
Yeah, let's...
Hold on. So they weren't invited, but 6 years later they won a bronze medal. They took that personally.
There you go. There you go. I mean, there's something interesting about the 1936 win, but we're not going to touch on that. If you want to go to the page and look at the flag that's alongside that competition. The era should give you an indication of why we're not talking about that. But there's a lot of... Again, it's a very tabulated page, isn't it?
I'm on a table as we speak, Dave. I'm on the manager's table.
Managers.
Which is interesting.
Okay.
We have 2 English managers have managed Norway.
Oh, I'm not there yet. Will I be able to guess them?
No.
No?
Unless you know who Ron Lewin is.
Nope.
Or George Curtis.
Nope.
I mean, if that was... Lewin was 56 to 57 and Curtis was 72 to 74.
No. Yeah, no idea. No idea.
Egil Olsen was the strong... Actually, hold on, that name. Egil Olsen was the area who took him to 2 World Cups. Was Egil Olsen also the manager who took charge of Wimbledon? Do you remember that? As a Norwegian manager over Wimbledon?
They did have an Olsen, didn't they? Yeah.
I'm thinking, he's done a little bit with Norway. We'll sign him. I think that's also the beginning of the end for Wimbledon, wasn't it? Not because of him, but...
Yeah, interesting. Solbakken is there now. Obviously, a pretty household name, I think. Solbakken.
Talking of household names, we obviously have the wonder kid leading the line for Norway, Joshua King. He's just Erling Haaland, who's got 12 goals in 15 appearances. He is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
Martin Odegaard is captain, current Arsenal player. We have El Nusi from Southampton. We have Christoph Eier, again, Brentford. We've got a few people playing in England.
Is Norway going to be one of those things where Haaland's never going to win anything with them? So
it'll be disappointing. Definitely not going to. I suppose the challenge is he good enough to send them to a major championship?
Yeah, mate. Probably yes, he is good enough. But I don't think
of the current squad, that there was some bits and pieces. But, recent call-ups, we've got Sander Berger, who obviously can do bits in midfield. We have Alexander Sorloth, who is just a physical beat. I mean, Sorloth and Haaland up front, that is a battle you're fighting there.
Yeah.
That is brute force. So there are bits and pieces. Just, you need that all to come together, don't you? But, I have trust and faith in her and Haaland. Can Haaland get into the top goal scorer rankings?
Oh, what? Is he there?
He's actually, there. From being in the top 10, he's 7 goals away from being in the top 10.
Wow.
He's almost halfway there. So top of the list is a player who played in 1928-37, Jürgen Juve. I don't know him. 33 goals, as I said. So Haaland needs a further kind of 22.
He'll do that.
Yes, he will do that in a couple of years. But names in there, we've got John Carew, Solskjaer, Tor-André Flo, we didn't mention. Stefan Iversen, Jan Agafjortov, Ivan Leonardson, but where it comes, where the information that we like is, Dave, top appearances.
Yeah, your boy's in there. Morten Gams Pedersen is in there. I'm also very happy with the fact that we named quite a few of those other people that are in there.
Yeah, so what we've got. So number one, didn't mention him, Jon Arne Riise.
Yeah, I mean,
10 caps.
Outstanding left back. You can understand that for Norway, why he's up there.
Yeah. We have an older statesman there, Thorbjørn Svendsen. That was from, you know, kind of post war era. Henning Berg, Erik Torsvet, the former Spurs goalkeeper. John Carew, Brede Hangeland, Fulham and Palace centre back. Øyvind Leonardsen, Kjetil Rekdal. Rekdal, was he?
I recognise that name.
Maybe playing in Holland? Was that? Oh, don't know. Morten Gams Pedersen on joint cap. They have the same record, both those, actually. 83 appearances, 17 goals, both Rekdal and Pedersen. And then Stefan Iversen, again, former Spurs player. So we have Spurs players. Three of these players have played for Spurs, which is quite nice.
Nice. Yeah, nice. I mean, we've got the link there. Is there, while we're on this page, because obviously part of Wikipedia Wanderers means we can't come back to it as another link. Mm. Is there anything else you want to look at while we're on the Norway men's national team that are controlled by the FA?
No, I'm all right, actually.
Okay, good. Fair enough, then.
I'm just having a look at some pictures. We've got some nice team picture. We've got a lovely picture of Jon Arne Riise trying to hide his ginger hair. We have Jorgen Juve there, what looks like on a typewriter.
Wow.
Really showing his prowess on a typewriter.
But I've just scrolled down towards the bottom, Josh, and this is something we definitely didn't think of. Honours. Olympic Games, third place, 1936, like you mentioned. Regional, the Nordic Championship winners. We didn't even think about clicking on Finland to go for Nordic regions or Sweden or something like that. So
no. What my disappointment on this page comes from, and that will be an action I take. I'm not even going to skirt around that one. Control F, Golden Watch, no records found.
There's
no mention of Golden Watch. So you can't mention it on Gams Pedersen page. It's something in Norway, they control it, they do. I need to make sure that's referenced, and I take a look at that. So
now, Josh, this could be controversial because you need to click it, I imagine, for your action. But if you click Golden Watch off Morten Gams Pedersen's page, is that ruling it out of Wikipedia Wanderers further down the line? Because you're going to have to click to see where what it is in more detail.
No, I mean, we're allowed to Wikipedia in our own time. I'll do it off air. We're allowed to,
Okay.
We promote Wikipedia. We promote its use.
That's true.
Donate to Wikipedia. Edit Wikipedia. All of those things.
I'm just worried about the future backlash if we need the Golden Watch in and you know that what is on that page already and who's on it.
Yeah, I could. We could define our starting endpoint, and I go and edit pages and go, "Oh, he's mentioned on this one. Why is that, Josh? Because I've put him in there."
Yeah. Well. Okay. We'll put faith in you. We'll put trust in you.
If someone mentions an award called the Golden Watch, we need to speak more about that.
Okay, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
So
that's good.
On that bombshell, let's click through to Morten Gams Pedersen and complete the loop. Well, not a loop, it's a line, actually, isn't it?
So as Josh said, it's not a loop, it's a line, and this has been a pretty wonky line, and I'm going to point this out, Josh, right? You've got two actions, I've got none, but that's a side note, because every single person we've clicked on is older than us in this link, and I love that.
I feel so young. It's another country out of the list. Haven't we previously taken another country out of the list?
Well, Ivory Coast has been taken out.
Yeah.
So Ivory Coast and Norway have now been removed from the situation.
2 in 2 weeks, that is, yeah.
It is 2 in 2 weeks, yeah. I mean,
but no club taken out. It might be the first time we've not used a club.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is the time we've connected two players. I find that even bizarre because they're both still playing.
Actually, I've got the stats in front of me. So we used episode 1, used Bolton Wanderers. Episode 2, used Atlas. Episode 3, used Inter Milan. Episode 4, no club. Episode 5, used two clubs with Bala and Sporting. Episode 6, no club. So it's the third time not using a club. It's just good, clean fun we're having there.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice stuff. Josh, I'll let you talk us through how we've done it very briefly, just to remind the listeners about what we've lost going forward and where we can't click again.
Okay, so we started the day at Oscar Cardozo, moved on to the 2014 Europa League final, off to Piotr Trzykowski, who played for Sevilla at the time. He then appeared in the 2010 World Cup qualifiers in Group 4 for Germany, which wasn't very helpful. We had a list of goal scorers where Chef Kikuchi was mentioned. Chef Kikuchi has scored one of his 8 goals for Finland against Norway. The Norway national football team has a list of top appearance makers, of which Morten Gamst Pedersen is joint 8th at 83 appearances. Over to Morten Gamst Pedersen. Clap, clap, clap. Well done, us. So, after that, we also taken 2 actions. So, one, I'd like to get the word out about the Golden Watch, sing its praises. And also, when we're on Morten Gamst Pedersen's page, we didn't have anything around the return to Norway. So, I feel we should get that in there. You got to sing from the rooftops for these things, Dave.
I think you're right. I think you've got to make it happen. And if we can make it so that you can set up a subsection that says "Return to Norway," I'm going to be well happy.
We're developing our Wikipedia skills.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. Well, that does bring an end to this week's podcast. So thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send all your suggestions in for Wikipedia pages to start, finish, or if you'd like to do. Send us 2 and we'll try and fit that journey together if you want to give us the start and the end all for one episode. You can find us on Twitter at Wiki Wanderers and on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. But for now, we'll see you next week. It's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.